to Nuts Alive from Asteroid G. More expensive now, thanks to tariffs. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, here, going to go take out a second loan on his home, apparently, as well, right?
Right. We are discussing specifically the Nintendo Switch 2, as Nintendo has put out two more Nintendo Directs since the last time we discussed the Nintendo Switch 2. Consider this a follow-up. However, while we don't normally do political stuff here, just because... like, it ages too fast for us.
Yeah.
In something like this, I feel like we can't help but talk about it at least a little. And
I agree, in this particular
instance, it's the fact that Donald Trump, the current president of the United States, decided to enact tariffs across all the countries of the world, then knock them down, then maybe bring them back in 90 days, or maybe sooner, or maybe not. No one has a clue, because this is the third time he's tried to put in tariffs. All anyone knows for certain is that crap could potentially be more expensive, including the Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah, bad signs when Nintendo shuts down the Americans' ability to even pre-order it, because they don't know how much they're going to charge you.
No pre-order for you.
I get it, and this it's immensely frustrating. You know, political things aside, like, I mean, don't mess with my hardware, man. Like, it's still guaranteed probably at this point to cost more than the $499 Bundaroo or the $449 straight up that you could have gotten it for right now. Like, it's going to be 10% more expensive no matter what. So I don't know. I mean, I just hope we get to pre-order it in a timely fashion and I can have it, because I do want it.
Yeah, I will probably do what I normally do, even after we discuss all of this. But this is my preface, that I will wait until there's a killer game of some sort. Some of the games we're going to discuss, I think, are cool. I don't think any of them, for me, quite yet are killer games. But at some point, like, I will eventually pick it up, and then I'll want it. Whatever.
There's a lot of great games on here, but, like, to your point, like, there's nothing... Prime 4, I think, is the main draw right now for that. But, like, we were supposed to get that maybe on, like, the Wii U at some point, or the Switch. Like, it's been a while. Take that for the grain of salt.
Yeah. So, who knows what price is going to finally be. Right now, Nintendo is saying $450, which, oh my god, that's fucking expensive.
Like, yeah, you're getting in PS5 category here, you know,
and
with the price.
I get it. Nintendo's trying not to sell them at a loss. Nintendo's trying to compete in their own way, at their own level, do their own thing. But when your game console is $450, a lot of your games are getting now priced apparently at $80, not all of which even have the full game on them. Some of them are game key cards that only have the minimal sliver, and then you have to download the rest of them, which... kind of ruins a physical game collection. Like, there's a lot that I think pricing wise even before tariffs come into play is kind of not good. And then when you factor tariffs on top, if they're just 10%, now we're looking at maybe the console costing $500. And don't forget, as they show in the second Nintendo Direct for this, the video camera you can get to unlock features that you don't already have with your Switch. And now we're in, like, $600 territory, and we're talking a freaking 360 with a Kinect there. Like, and that didn't exactly work out well for Microsoft, if we remember.
It did not. I have to think that they've put a lot of effort into this, and they hit a home run with the Switch One. They did. They upgraded some features. They made it a little better. They tweaked this here. They jingled this there. I have faith that, like, it's... in some capacity going to be worth the price of admission in some way. Historically, they don't always make money from the sale of their console. They make, you know, they make just enough to, like, break even. So I have to think, like, things cost at least around this dollar for just the console itself. Where they make the money, to your point, is the games. And that's just what they do. So I have faith that, like, it's not going to be outlandish, but I mean, if I wanted to get the total package, you were talking $600, then we might be kicking around $800-$900 minimal if you want to get the whole kit and caboodle when it's ready. I don't know, man.
And I don't think we're going to see every game be $80. I think we're going to see every Nintendo published game be $80, because that's their way. Yeah. But I was just at Walmart recently to pick up DVDs, because that's about the only place I can buy DVDs at this point unless I'm buying them used. And I looked at their game section, and their game section had, like, the Nintendo stuff that was like $80, but right next to it in the Nintendo Switch area was like third-party published games and older titles and so forth. And while Nintendo classically doesn't lower the price on their games, all the other game companies like $30, $40, $50. And I'm like, so you just wait like 3 months and you're getting the game for the price you actually want. That's fine. Admittedly, most of the games that I have for the Switch that I really care about are Nintendo games, but I like the Switch library was so good, I've bought a bunch of crap for it. And if I have to wait 6 months and then pick it up for cheap, I'm not complaining so much about that. Honestly, it's fine. Yeah.
Probably the best way to handle that thing too. And I've got about half and half physical copy for my Switch games and digital copies. I like the physical copy as well. Like, you just know, just in case, you know, it's nice. Like, I don't mind the digital aspect, but I don't want all of my media to be that way. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Yep. Yep. So let's look at what they discussed in their first Nintendo Switch. I wrote down some notes on some of these games, so we can just kind of breeze through some of these if we want to. And I didn't write down notes on everything. A lot of some of them are just like ports from other consoles and other crap that's coming in and whatever. But the first one that actually intrigued me, maybe you have some different ones you want to discuss as well, but Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D Remake.
Yeah, sounds exciting. I played the most recent Dragon Quest like revamp a few years ago on the Switch. I still have it. I downloaded that one. That's a lot of fun. You know, Dragon Quest is pretty good stuff. So I like it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a pretty good game.
I think it's interesting. Like the Dragon Quest 3 one didn't look too far outside of what the original Dragon Quest 3 was. They added a little bit, some visual flourish and so forth. But it feels like they looked at Dragon Quest 1 and 2 and were like, wow, these are really basic, and then decided to add a lot more. Like it looks like Dragon Quest 1 is getting a second playable character included. They kind of hinted at that. Both of them have like fully revamped layouts and dungeons and a bunch of other stuff, and if that means that Dragon Quest 2 is rebalanced to not be a hard as balls piece of shit, for that, because that game is atrocious.
For as much as the first one is streamlined and pretty, you know, simple A to B to C, the second one is punishing.
They wanted it to be expansive, I get that, but they did not balance that game at all. So that's interesting.
They play attention to that minimally.
At the other end of the spectrum, from stuff that I want to play to stuff I absolutely do not want to play, Shadow Labyrinth, which looks like the dumbest fucking Pac-Man game I have ever seen.
I mean, it's so weird, right?
It's so weird.
Like, what did they even? They couldn't call it Pac-Man. What did they even call it?
Shadow Labyrinth.
Like, no, but like didn't they have a name for what that character was?
They called him Puck.
Yes,
which
Pac-Man.
Okay.
They is like
that's his name.
Individual
in,
property
in Japan, he was Puck-Man. Sure, Scott Pilgrim points out they were gonna deface him to Punk, but Puck-Man. Yeah, no, it's I get it, but. It's a Metroidvania with a weird, dark anime dude who befriends this, like, familiar who just so happens to be Pac-Man, and then sometimes you're playing a Metroidvania, and sometimes you're chasing dots and eating... I don't understand what LSD trip they were on to come up with this stupid thing. It's so bizarre.
And they're trying to scratch too many itches, I think, with this one. Like, maybe it's fun, and maybe, you know, maybe I'll pick it up when it's on, like, a super sale, 80% off at some point. Yeah, like, we'll see. But, like, it's, like, I think they, like, led with that right up in the front.
Early.
It was
early.
Yeah, it was very early, and I was like, okay, this is, we're starting out interesting at the very least.
Yeah. No, it totally feels like Namco just doesn't know what to do with Pac-Man beyond add some bright flashing colors and championship edition to the end of the name. So this is their idea of, like, let's make Pac-Man relevant again by barely making a Pac-Man game. I'm just so lost. Maybe it's comedy, and that comedy didn't come across, and they know what they were making, but
I don't know. If you're leading with that, I got to feel like you're pretty proud of it. You would sneak that in there in the second half of the direct if you were like, hey, we're just trying to do a Pac-Man thing.
Right.
So we'll see. Maybe it's a good story. I don't know. But it just, I don't know.
Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. So I love Metroid Prime. The first game is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I will admit I didn't get as deep into the other two, but the first game was so good. That blend of 3D plus Metroidvania and first person. It's so... Like, it shouldn't work, and it works, and it's great. Metroid Prime 4, because they barely show anything about it, looks so bland to me.
I think that... I'm trying to look at it through the lens of, like, you know, this is not going to be... this has the potential to be better than Dread is what I'm telling myself. But, you know, when we saw the preview for Dread, you know, several, many directs ago, like that looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a long time to give us a little bit of a new Metroid. And mm-hmm. It's been in the reworks for a very long time. And it just still feels like they didn't give us hardly anything. I'm excited.
Now Samus has telekinetic powers and you can use it to adjust the world. I'm like, that's barely a power. She has a power that dude from Half-Life had 20 years ago. Like, yeah, yeah. I'm not really impressed by something that is just included as a bonus option in GTA 5 Online. This is not mm-hmm. a power. This is just something the devs put in to help them during their coding and then they just decided to leave in for you to use. Maybe I'm wrong. They barely show off the telekinetic power at all. Let's put it that way. Yeah. But so I don't know. I just Prime doesn't like what I'm seeing. That's a Prime game. I'll probably still buy it because it's Prime.
Mm.
But it doesn't thrill me. I don't know.
So to me, you're talking about like the telekinetic powers. It's almost like they didn't quite have something special for this game, and then they see the success of Breath of the Wild with Ultra Hand, and they're like, "How yes. can we do a little bit of something like yes. that with Samus?" Is kind of the vibe I got from it. Like, am I right here?
Yeah, it's almost like back in the day when, like, one team was working on Metroid, and then someone else was like, oh yeah, you know, that was good, let's assign this to the Mario team, give them the Zelda license, and have them make one. Like, they're yeah. just, like, stealing parts from other things, and, like, if they decide to put the cryonic power in there as well, then you know, like...
I mean, no. It's interesting. It's interesting. It's different. I mean, it's... You kind of really tied a nice bow around, like, you know, Samus's story in mm-hmm. one universe with Dread.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of maybe had to do something a little different with, you know, the Prime timeline aspect of, like, where she is and what's going on. So I get they had to give her something different, but I don't foresee this power being, like, you know, exceptionally special.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe the game's designed around it, and I'll be wrong, but it just seems like an odd thing to choose. She's never had anything like this. I mean, the most you can think is maybe like a grapple beam in a game. It's kind of similar to mm-hmm. that. Like, you know, you can touch something from far away, but I don't know. We'll see how it works out. I'm excited for the game. It's been many years in the making. It looks nice. I think Dread looked better, but I'm hopeful that maybe we get another little taste before it comes out.
Maybe. Yeah, they've got to give us more, because obviously this is just a little Nintendo Direct with a 2-minute trailer, but barely a trailer. And you also raise a valid point that I always laugh at every time. This is Prime 4, which means it still takes place before Metroid 2. So like, you're sitting there going, man, there's a lot of shit that she went through between Metroid 1 and 2. God damn, guys.
Yeah. She's damaged by the end of this.
Wow, yeah, if Dread is the last of her adventures, she has earned herself a retirement. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is just for me, because I saw it and I like it, and I like Stardew Valley. I don't know if you care, but that Witchbrook game looks cute.
I am trying to get a little bit more into Stardew. Mm-hmm. I've been playing it through some Archipelago stuff, and it's a fun game. I don't mm-hmm. completely understand the simulator stuff yet, but it looked like a Stardew clone. Mm-hmm. In a way, but it looked cute.
Yeah, it looks cute.
There was another game on there that I can't remember the name of, that looked like it was Animal Crossing, basically.
Yeah, basically. There's a couple. We'll cover some of those. Yeah. But I like the art style of Witchbrook, and it looked very Stardew-ish. So, yeah.
It was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty looking.
Yeah.
That's something I like a lot about these third-party games that you can get on the Switch. You know, those ones that are just really beautiful. You know, Ori mm-hmm. and the Will-O-The-Wisp, mm-hmm. Blind Forest, mm-hmm. Abzu. You know, just these other games that are just really kind of abstract and kind of cool. And, you know, Stardew is a fun game. So if you can inject that gameplay element into a game that's also a little bit more visually pleasing than Stardew, I think that could be a very good success for them.
I certainly cared about that a lot more than yet another Pokemon game.
Is it a Nintendo release of anything if we don't get some Pokemon?
This is what the... And I'm not even certain it's for the Switch, too. This might just be for the Switch. Like, it looks like it's AZ Arceus Legends something or other.
Pokemon Legends Z to A's, I think, is what I'm looking at here. I don't know. Like, you got Mega Evolutions now. You got all kinds of stuff. Like, I think it's expanding on whatever universe we got in some of the most recent Pokemons. But again, to your point, like I played Pokemon Go 8 years ago when it was a thing, but like, I don't know. No thanks.
We had Sword and Shield and then that Legends game and then Violet and Scarlet and then this Legends game. And then we're getting the Switch 2, which may or may not also play this Legends game. Like, that's four games in a single technical generation of console. I'm obviously, it's two Pokemon generations, but there's a reason why everyone's bitching about the fact that these games are coming out too fast and not getting the technical improvements they need. It really feels like, and this is more Pokemon Company than Nintendo specifically, it really feels like they're milking this franchise dry.
It's a tremendous success. It's one of the most, you know, recognizable IP names in the world. It sells. I get it. You know, the kids love it. Question mark.
For the kids.
This one's not for me.
Pokemon's not for me. I've never actually played a single one. I just don't.
I enjoyed Red and Blue back in the day, you know, and Emerald was fun. And, you know, I remember playing it on the Game Boy. It was a good time. But, like, it's, they're all the same now.
That's how I've always felt about the games. In the middle of talking about games in the first Nintendo Direct that we're covering, they decided to go on about their new virtual game cards where you can share downloaded games between consoles and other stuff, which is actually kind of nice. Like, I appreciate that. It's weird because it's this thing where if you have an Xbox and you have Live and you have a game download onto your Live, it is attached to your Live account until you die. But Nintendo, if you buy a game, it's attached to your console, and if your console dies, you're just fucked. So it's nice that they're letting you share them a little. It would be nicer if it was more like Xbox.
Agreed. I think the a safety factor of being able to make sure you can still possess it should something happen, to your point, is something that's a little bit lacking. I do like the feature that you can lend it out and you get it back after 14 days, like,
that's
no matter what.
Yeah, like, that's cool.
Pretty nice. That's nice. But that could also be annoying if, you know, you got to just keep lending it to a friend. Like, you know, maybe there's a function at some point, they do an update where you can extend that, you know, for certain, I don't know, people on your friend list or whatever. But I do think that's a pretty cool thing. That adds a level of, like, okay, I'll get my game back kind of thing. But I'm unclear, do you know if you can, if I have a Switch and I share a game with my wife on her Switch, can I still play the game on the original? I can't remember if they said something about that.
I don't think you can with the virtual cards. I think you I think it's like you lend it and they get to play it, but you don't or something. Now, they did mention a feature for, like, Mario Kart World on the Switch 2 and some other ones where if there's multiple consoles in a single group all together physically, you all can play off of one card almost like it was the old Link cable for the Game Boy back in the day. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, that's kind of nice. But that's a different feature from the next Nintendo Direct we'll cover in a little bit. Still, it's still Nintendo, so it's still limited, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Which doesn't really change anything for how it is, because I always buy my stuff physically, so if my wife wants to play my game, I'm just fucked anyway. The next up in the list was Saga Frontier 2 Remaster, which I don't have a lot to say about, but it's interesting they're bringing the Saga games here, because those are not really popular in the West.
I never played any of them. I don't have much of the thoughts on this
Final
one.
Final Fantasy Legends. If you played
those
were the first three. Those were the Saga games. And then they've done like Romancing Saga and Saga Frontiers and bullshit. So, but I mean, I don't think most anyone in the West has played anything beyond the three Legends games, because I don't think we got another one until like the PS2. And by that point, who gave a shit?
Fair, fair.
Yeah, so I think it's cool they're bringing it out. I don't know that it's necessarily for me, but good for them for trying.
I mean, you they do this, you know, they give us little tweaks and remakes and revamps on things, and, you know, maybe they're trying to see, maybe they can carve out their place here and then, you know, make a little money off the name again. Who knows?
Marvel Cosmic Invasion looks like a whole hell of a lot of fun, because it's the company that did the TMNT Shredder's Revenge beat 'em up that was amazing, and now they're doing it with Marvel, and they can already fucking take my money.
I got such Marvel versus Capcom vibes from this game. Like, oh my god,
it's like the that 6-player X-Men tabletop. That's kind of what they're going for. Yeah, no, totally. That's like, you know, that's exactly what they want to do. And I'm in. I'm just so.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. You know, games like this are fun. You know, like they do fighting games. They do a good job with. You know, the Street Fighters are really good. The Mortal Kombats are very, very good. They fighting games still really hit that itch, and you're bringing out the Marvelness. You're bringing it back to like a Marvel Capcom kind of feel. You know, multiplayer teams and stuff. That I'm here for it too. That shit looks fun.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's like you expect a lot of upgrades for certain games, like. You can't just get the same Mario game and so forth over and over. And I mean, I even complained about the fact that, you know, the three TMNT games back in the day, TMNT 2, TMNT 3 on the NES, and then TMNT 4, didn't really push forward enough the whole concept. I think 4 was a great upgrade over 2, but by having 3 in the middle, which was just the same game but longer, it didn't feel as fresh. But brawlers can get away with a certain amount of recycling so long as things are different. This is probably just an upgraded version of Shredder's Revenge with a different art style and swappable characters. But you know what? That's really all I fucking needed. I'll play this game again.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's gonna be just one of those games you can play with buddies and it's gonna be fun. Like,
Oh,
you know, I'm here
hell of a
for
good
it.
time. Looks great, looks fun. I'm in. Final one from this one that I had to talk about. Who gives a shit about Tamagotchi?
Is that I always thought it
That's.
was Tamagotchi.
No,
Like
there's two
how
different
and I've
ones.
ever
There's a
okay, I've
Tamagotchi game, and then there's the Tamagotchi Life series that's basically Animal Crossing without animals. And that's also Nintendo, and I think it's really big in Japan because they like that kind of shit. Nothing against Japanese people, that everyone has different tastes, that's fine. But I can't. I saw it and I'm like, this is boring as fuck to me. Why?
I don't know. I am not their target audience for this, as you are not as well. It just is like
No.
a questionable placement of where they had that again at the end. Like,
At the
you know,
end,
they
this your
led strange and they ended strange.
yeah, your big game you're closing out this Nintendo Direct with is Tamagotchi Life. Like, what are we doing? Oh,
I don't know.
okay,
It
guys. Sure.
felt disappointing.
Right?
Disappointing, I think.
Yep. No, the second Nintendo Switch handled that balance a bit better, I will say. The second Nintendo Direct was, of these two that we're covering, was more about the Switch itself. And it's honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, I skipped through a lot of it because it didn't look that interesting. I'd seen a lot of news for stuff about it, but it was like, here's what the Switch looks like again. Here's how big it is. Here's how it's gonna feel in your hands. Here's the extra buttons we added, which is barely anything. There's the thing where you can turn on the camera if you buy the camera. You can now share your cards and share your saves and lend the games out. And so I'm like, okay, this is fine, whatever. I just wanted to know a couple of the extra games and see if there's anything more impressive about the hardware. And there wasn't much more they discussed about the hardware than we saw, aside from the fact that there's a $10 game you can buy that takes you on a tour of the hardware. And I'm like, why am I paying $10 for this?
I mean, you know, you're paying more for a manual, I guess, that should just come stock on
Should
the
come
guy. I should have
stock.
that 12 preloaded, right?
That game should just come for free in the thing as my pack-in. So I know how to. Don't charge me $10 to learn how to use my console. I just won't learn how to use my console. Like, I'm not gonna pop game and play game. That's where I'm at.
Agreed, man. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I don't. But there were some games that were shown off that were, I guess, interesting. They're doing a lot of re-releases from the previous console. Kirby with a little extra, Zelda with a little extra, a few others with a little. It's like what they did with the Wii U to the Switch, where they did Mario 3D World plus a little Bowser on top just to get you to buy it again, which, I mean, it's different when it was the Wii U and you couldn't play them in the Switch and I didn't want to play my Wii U again, so I did buy that game again. Now it's like, I own this game. Why am I buying it again for a console that will just play my game cart?
I don't know. It's a questionable choice,
Yeah,
right?
it's weird. It's weird. The ones that were new that I was interested in, there were two. Two whole games out of this whole Nintendo Direct I actually gave a shit about, because I know there's people that like Bloodborne, but that's not my kind of game. They're not sequel for the Switch. It's like, I'm sure it looks fun. I'm not good enough at video games to play this thing, I'm sorry. But the first one was, I mean, aside from the fact that they showed off Metroid Prime again, which we've already discussed, Mario Kart World was shown off in more detail, and it looks like it has a lot of modes that go beyond Mario Kart. Like, not just the single player, like, four tracks do the thing that we're used to. They had the 16-track race it all and try not to get eliminated, which was interesting. And they had the Mario World exploration where you just kind of like drive around this whole interconnected world of all the courses, which was also interesting. I think that kind of could just be fun, just going and cruising with buddies and doing dumb races just among ourselves where they're don't. Yeah, that looks like I could have fun. If like you and I want to do something like that and just like fuck around for 4 hours, I could totally see doing that. Yeah.
For sure. And the map is just crazy looking, right? The
Yeah, it
world is
is.
like this like hodgepodge of like, you know, intertwining roads and everything's an intersection. Like it just looks like, to your point, like just cruise and have fun. It's adding
Yeah.
a neat little element to Mario Kart. This might get me to buy it, to be frank.
Well, and I was wondering for the longest time, why are they calling it Mario Kart World when you would expect them after Mario Kart 7 and Mario Kart 8 to continue that? You set a naming convention. Why not Mario Kart 9, like everyone was saying? But no, Mario Kart World makes sense because it's an interconnected world and it has like a whole world map as if it was like Mario World or 3D World. It's like it's a game in itself. It's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Plus, now it's what, 20 players at a time, and that's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I'll still lose to all 20 of them, like I managed to lose to all 12 in the previous.
It's pretty cool. Like the map and everything reminds me of Smash Brothers when you'd have like that spirit world kind of thing. Like there's almost
World of Light.
The World of Light. The World of Light. Thank you. Yeah. It's almost like that. Like there's like, I wonder, like, are you going to get access to all this right off the get? Or are you going to be unlocking things as you go kind of thing? Like it just looks pretty cool.
If you have to do 50cc to get through all of them, that's still fine. I can usually beat 50cc. I usually get my ass kicked at 100 because of the dumb fucking rubber band physics, and I'm just bad at these games. But if I can unlock all of it through 50cc, then I'm perfectly fine, and I can just go bebop around with friends after that. Do the Smash Brothers thing online instead of actually having to race the computers, because I'm terrible. Yeah.
And the courses look fun, too. I'm excited.
More variety.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't look like they recycled a bunch of shit, so that's cool. The other game that I noticed, it was at the very end, it was Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Ooh, and Donkey Kong, yeah.
Yeah, like, I am an unabashed fan of the Donkey Kong Country games. I think they're great. Well, at least the first two. Donkey Kong Country 3 was meh, and Donkey Kong 64 was meh. But this is the first, looks like, mostly 3D game since Donkey Kong 64. It's going to do that mostly 3D, but occasionally have 2D layout stages, kind of like some of the Sonic games and so forth. But it's Donkey Kong and it's Nintendo. I kind of have faith in it. Plus, Donkey Kong's just always fun. Always fun.
Yeah, and they've done this with, you know, several things. You know, they turn Zelda into a 3D kind of thing, you know, with Breath of the Wild and everything. We haven't really gotten that kind of aspect. Yeah, since 64. So,
and 64,
like,
okay, 64 was bad. It was just a bad Mario 64 clone. It was so bad.
Yeah. But, like, they haven't really gotten away and done this in a proper way for a Donkey Kong. It looks really cool. It looks like it could be a lot of fun. Like, let's see what this can be. I'm excited for it, too.
Yeah, no, I think that of all the games that are out, the two that I have my eyes on, and it's not Metroid Prime, is definitely Mario Kart World, if I know friends are getting it, and then Donkey Kong Bonanza. Those are the two that I would actually outlay money for. Maybe not initially. Maybe I'd wait until there was a holiday sale, or I can get a bundle with one of them or something. But, like, those are the ones that I would actually, like, pay money for to get early on.
Yes.
Like, the Marvel Cosmic Invasion looks like it's an instant buy for me, but it's cross-platform and will be on Steam, so obviously I'm going to get it there instead. I'll eventually do the limited run games edition where I can get a physical copy for, like, something cool, you know?
Right. But
yeah. So,
you know, like, Silk Song was one that I'm very excited for. But to your point, like, I don't necessarily have to get that on the Switch. Like, I'm probably going to get that on Steam also. I was just excited they actually gave us some news about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, Silk Song, I could see you picking that up on Steam, not just so you have it to play with people on Steam, but also so you can, like, get randomizer mods and so forth for it.
Exactly.
You can't do on the Switch. So, that is. Yeah. That is a problem with cross-platform games that I think a lot of companies are going to run into now, which is a lot of us like to mod them or do a randomizer for them or something. And while you can, like, play Ori and the Blind Forest on Steam with a randomizer, you can't play it on Switch with the randomizer, at least not easily. So, not without a whole lot of hacking. So,
I get it. Like, you know, Nintendo, they don't... There's a very large gray area with, you know, they let people get away with modding their games and stuff like that. And if they really want to shut it down, they could. So, but there's got to be a time where you have to be able to have a little bit of more cross function. It's 2025. Like, let's get to the point where we can do that across everywhere, because then I think it would increase their sales, to be perfectly honest.
Metroid Dread has a big randomizer community because Randovania has access to it, and they did the hacking required. I think you still have to somehow get the ROM. I'm not I'm not saying anything. Buy your copies, people. I'm not telling you what to do. But, like, the Metroid Dread is in there, and you can do that, and I think the Metroid Primes have that because they figured out how to, like, play with the ripped ISOs and so forth, but that's still a lot of effort you have to do, and I'm not actually certain they play on original hardware for those. I think they emulate. So
I think they have to.
Yeah, so Silk Song, which is already going to be cross-platform, Yeah. Not a Nintendo Switch specific one, no.
Exactly. Yeah,
Maybe
but
just a physical
it looks really
copy,
cool.
but yeah.
I might do that. I
Yeah,
like
I do that.
I'm gonna want to support, Nintendo in some way, and this might be one game that I pick besides those two that we talked about that I'm like, yeah, I'll buy a copy of that.
So
I
anyway,
bought Hollow Knight on my Switch as well. Like, and I have it on Steam, so
it was interesting. I think Mario Kart World and Donkey Kong are going to sell Switch 2 just on its own. Those are good enough. I don't know if they're going to sell it to the same level that Breath of the Wild did, because, well, maybe Donkey Kong. It's been a long time since we had a really good new Donkey Kong game. Like, the two Donkey Kong countries we got that were re-released on Switch were re-releases. We haven't had a new one since the Wii U. So, yeah, I think in that regard, Donkey Kong might be, but I don't know. It didn't look like it was so revolutionary that it's going to bring people in the way Breath of the Wild did, question mark.
We'll see. And we started out with this talking about tariffs, and we should probably bring it to a close also just saying, like, we don't know
We don't know.
how much this is going
We
to
don't know
cost,
anything's going to affect anything. We don't know how prices are going to be. We don't know how much people are going to get buzzed for it. We're still only getting glances of all these games, so we're not actually certain how anything's going to play out. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I got faith in them. They did us really well with the Switch 1 and the Switch 2. It looks like a big, brother or a little brother that's bigger than the big brother kind of upgrade, They have tended to start hitting things out of the park in a lot of the things they've done in the last, 8 years. I'm hopeful that this will continue that trend, but we're gonna have to pay through the nose to get it.
Yes, and that is the part that I have the most issue with. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, sharing yourselves around to up to four friends. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Everybody, Mike DeGoe is going to go find his Game Boy connector so that way he can share his feelings too.
Yes! We will see you all next time!